From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
Some anthropologists believe the thing that separates a civilization from a barbaric society, it is the strength of a male being harnessed and channeled into the building up of other human beings and blessing women rather than brutalizing them. Blessing children, pouring all of his energy and life and plans and future into a woman and loving her unconditionally the way Christ loved the church and giving himself to her and prioritizing her in that way. The Bible shows us how to be husbands and fathers because God desires that from that covenanted family, the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forward.
The Bible declares, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief, that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us a special Father's Day message entitled, What Mama and the Kids Really Want for Father's Day. In the 1950s, television shows like Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver portrayed fathers who were respected and loved. Well, today, fathers are routinely portrayed negatively on TV as either callous antagonists or clueless buffoons. How can we reestablish the vital role of godly Christian fathers in our society? Well, let's go back to Dr. Mike Milton for today's message he's calling What Mama and the Kids Really Want for Father's Day.
On this Father's Day, would you join me as we look at several texts from the Bible which have to do with the role relationship of men and women in marriage, the role relationship of men and children in fatherhood. I believe that these texts not only speak to those who are fathers with wives and children, but it speaks to all, even heads of household, because the obligations and the needs of the children are met even in heads of households. So this is not a message only for fathers. When we read the Word of God, because all of our lives are connected together, when we read the Word of God about one aspect of life, all the rest of us are touched by that. And so wherever you are in your life stage, these passages will speak to you because they are the inerrant and the infallible Word of God. In the Old Testament, I want to turn your attention to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. There, after God, in a preamble, reminded Israel that He saved them, and then He gave the law. The law always follows. The instruction on how to live our lives always follows the announcement of God's grace, so that we're not saved through the law. This is the way. It was always what God had done for us. And then after the giving of the law, then instructions are given about how these things are to be communicated to children. Would you join me as we read from chapter 6 of Deuteronomy? Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Now the subject of fathering and rearing children continues as a great topic of the New Testament. Would you join me in Ephesians? And in Ephesians chapter 5, which is one of those chapters which is often read at weddings, like 1 Corinthians 13, there in Ephesians 5, we come to the application of a great doctrinal truth. My beloved, doctrine is always given and disclosed in the Word of God that it may be applied to your life. Doctrine is never given apart from practical application. Doctrine is vital and important, but it is always linked to you and your life before God. And so in chapter 5, there's an outworking of a teaching which we're going to get to. But in verse 25, we read these words: "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Chapter 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, in Colossians, if you'll turn there, Paul is writing the same thing to another church, because this is a universal application. And so in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul, in talking to people who have been redeemed by Christ, talks about how Christ must change their families. Verse 19, chapter 3 of Colossians. "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And finally, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, similar words, but with a different twist and a different emphasis. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So much of today's like today are spent talking about what to get someone. There's probably some iPods that have been given this year on Father's Day, but today I want to talk about what fathers need to give to their wives and children. Now let me begin by telling you, by personal illustration, what not to do, dads. Yesterday, I had an adventure that ended with these glasses right here. You know what these glasses are? These are prescription glasses given by Dr. CVS late last night. The reason is my glasses are at the bottom of the Tennessee River. Let me explain. We went on a little outing yesterday, and on that outing, I went to go fishing, and my son and our grandson Christopher was here, and they went kayaking, and I asked May to get in a canoe with me. And May got in for a little while, and she said, "This is an unstable canoe. Will you get me to the shore immediately?" And I did. And I had my fly fishing rod, which I really hadn't used, and I had a nice little Walmart popper I'd put on the end of it, just right for bluegill. And so I said, I took off in my canoe. And it was unstable, but I was having a good time. And almost, there's a theory I have, the farther away from the bank you go, supposedly, the bigger the fish are. So I just decided I'm going to go a long way. I paid for that later. A long way. And during this trip, I found a perfect spot. And so I let my cast out and let my fly fishing lure go out there. And sure enough, right off, I had a hit. And I'm telling you, now I'm telling fish stories are one thing, but I'm in the pulpit, okay? This is the biggest single bluegill I have ever caught in my life. So I did not have a bucket. I didn't have a stringer. And so I just let the little fish, well, the big fish, plop in the bottom of the canoe. And I went on and I said, well, what am I going to do? So he was flopping around there. I said, well, I put some water into the boat to try to help the creature live so I could show the creature and show that I can catch a fish and I can catch a big fish and be a great dad to my son and a husband to my wife. Well, I went about fishing and I decided I wanted some more. And I went in a certain area and I was fishing and I looked down and all the flop had gone out of this bluegill. And he was just lying there, you know, in a death stare at me. And I decided again I would actually take the fish and lean over and put the fish into the water and kind of wiggle him around like that to let some water go through his gills and he'd come back to life. During that moment, in a split second, the canoe flipped over and I was underneath the canoe. Now, I was dressed in a fly fishing outfit and this thing was loaded with all kind of paraphernalia. It became like a brick and it just brought me down. Well, I made my way back up, tried to get the canoe turned over, and began swimming and hollering as I was trying to swim back, carrying my canoe. Well, I was rescued by John Michael and Christopher, and then I came up and I looked into the eyes of what I was hoping would be a very sympathetic wife, and she just took a picture of me. In the process, I lost my glasses, and I ended up getting these glasses. Well, I didn't need to, of course, prove anything about myself as a father, as a husband. What you need to do is to love people, to love your wife, and to love your children. And it's more than that, because let me tell you, fatherhood and motherhood and being a child and parenting can be rather complicated. Because human beings get in the way and things get complicated. And we need help. This morning I bring you help. A little dose of it anyway. From God's Word. Because in God's Word we learn as fathers what our wives and children need. We go to these passages and we learn that. And let's begin by thinking about what mama really wants from papa. What mama really wants. You say, now Mike, you are entering the field of women. Are you an expert in this field? Well, far from it. But God is, and there are universal truths about men and women which are revealed in the Word of God. And through God's apostles and his prophet Moses, the instruction to the believing people then becomes for us God's Word today on how to be a father and to understand what mothers, what our wives really want. Well, I draw your attention then to Ephesians. If you've got your Bibles in Ephesians, that great chapter, as I say, which is quoted so often in weddings, we learn, I think, beginning with verse 25 in this picture of the role relationship of husband and wives, which is based on the role relationship of Jesus Christ and his believers, we begin to learn that what wives need is an unconditional covenanted love from her husband. Let me unpack that. Unconditional love is the way Jesus Christ loved you. And everything we know about being a husband from God's Word begins and ends with the way God loves you. And he loved you through Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for your sins, who left the prerogatives and splendor of heaven in order to harness all of the power of the universe into saving you, into living as a bondservant to save you. And what women need are husbands who will pour their lives and harness all they are as men. Harness that and channel that into the narrow vein of unconditional love. But with Jesus Christ, that love is covenanted. It's promised and it's sealed. And that's what marriage is. And that's what God wants from husbands. That's what women wives want from husbands. An unconditional, covenanted love that says, I'm going to be there through every part of your life, and I'm going to love you. And not with a romantic Hollywood love, but I'm going to love you with a covenanted love that says, I'll always be there. And to show that and to demonstrate that in our lives. She also needs tender strength from her husband. Look at Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Somebody might think, well, the Bible is teaching here, do not beat your wife. Of course, that's true. But the word here for harsh means to make sour and to make bitter. Do you know, men, that you can sour your relationship with your wife by the way you relate to them? And when you do not relate to them in the way that God calls us to do, it is water that can be poisoned. Some anthropologists believe the thing that separates a civilization from a barbaric society is the very thing that we're seeing here. It is the strength of a male being harnessed and channeled into the building up of other human beings and blessing women rather than brutalizing them. Blessing children. Pouring all of his energy and life and plans and future into a woman. Not many. Into one woman. And loving her unconditionally the way Christ loved the church. And giving himself to her and prioritizing her in that way. We also see here in Peter, in 1 Peter, if you'll turn there, that a woman needs from a husband a Godward appreciation for who she is to him. Because Peter, in this passage, is saying we're to show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, and he's speaking simply of the fact that men are bigger, and he's speaking of the fact also that in that society, as in ours, women, because of that, are sometimes brutalized. And all the more then should he pay attention to carefully devoting himself to her. And because Peter is teaching they are heirs with you of the grace of life, your prayers can be hindered. If your relationship with your wife is not what God is calling it to be, your very relationship with God is impaired. Why? Because God took two and made one flesh. And you now, as husband and wife, relate to the Lord. And then you, as in the Old Testament, with the Old Testament saints, you are the spiritual leader. You are the priest of your own home. And your priesthood is to be devoted to being a bond servant to Jesus Christ through your wife. But the truth is that we're incomplete. Those who have been given the calling of marriage, you've been made one flesh, and you're incomplete without your wife, man. Well, I want to share this little story before I move on to talk about what the kids need. I have to share this with you. I read it this week. We hear about how men just don't get it. Well, this guy doesn't get it. Here's another example of how not to understand what the Bible is teaching. This came from a newspaper in Arkansas. It's a testimony of a man who is confused about why his girlfriend responded the way she did. Women are very touchy about certain gifts, he wrote, as I discovered years ago after buying a girlfriend a catcher's mitt for her birthday. It seemed to me to be a particularly thoughtful gift, especially since she claimed that she wanted physical exercise. But apparently she didn't see it that way, and the minute she unwrapped it, she ran sobbing from the room. At first, I thought those were tears of joy streaming down her face. I figured she was overwhelmed at being the first in the crowd to have a catcher's mitt, that sort of thing. Or I figured she was so excited she couldn't wait to get outside and work on her throws to second base. But when she didn't return after a few hours, I got the hint. Here I'd spent all that time running around from one sporting goods store to the next trying to find the perfect gift. I mean, we're talking about the Johnny Bench model here, top of the line, and she called me insensitive. I mean, you'd think I'd given her a year's subscription to Field & Stream. Or a box of shotgun shells, which everybody knows should be saved for Christmas stocking stuffers. Personally, I think she's got a lot of anger, and she took it out on me. Not that I'm trying to be amateur psychologist or anything, he closes. And I thought, Oh, no, we would never think you were a psychologist or anything like that. And it's an illustration of what we hear so much in the media, and it's even a caricature of husbands and fathers today, of guys who just don't get it. And we kind of take that and run with it and say, well, that's just the way the life is. And men really don't get it. But the Bible doesn't want you to remain that way. The Bible shows us how to be husbands, because God desires that from that covenanted family, the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forward. Now, what do the kids really want? In all of these passages, we see in Deuteronomy 6, we see that the children need a father, a male figure in the family who is going to be the priest for that home and who is going to share and teach what God has done in his own life with those children. And that faith will come about through the gospel being offered in families. We also see in Colossians and Ephesians, where we read in Ephesians that we shouldn't provoke our children to anger. And we read in Colossians that we should not provoke our children lest they become discouraged. We should see some things that can, in all these ways, that can provoke our children. Number one, we can provoke our children by not teaching them the gospel. Because the gospel is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And fathers have the responsibility of going to children and teaching them the gospel in their homes. And according to Moses, in every area of life, rising up, lying down, coming and going. But there is a way in which we talk to our children about Christ in every part of life. Not to do so is to deny your children the truth of life. And we provoke them. We can also provoke them by not being there. In order to teach, in order to discipline, and the word here, when Paul says that we should discipline and instruct our children, it is to shape them, shaping in the gospel. I saw this past week a story on television. I was watching the military channel, and there was a young man who was going through boot camp. And boy, it had been hard. It was a British boot camp, and I can tell you, having served with the British alongside the British Army, the British Sergeant Major is one of the meanest human beings on earth. And this kid, this 19-year-old kid, was just getting it. And about 3 months into it, he was about to finish. He had his last trial he had to do as a rope trial, and he made it. He had failed it over and over. He had one more chance, and he made it. And they interviewed him. He was so happy. And he said, but nothing is going to compare to that graduation next week and my dad being there. The scene switches, and he's in the locker room after a day, and he's there, and he's reading a letter. And the kid who has been cursed at, yelled at, screamed at, abused in a controlled abuse environment and never shed a tear is choking back tears. You know what he says? He says in a cockney, my dad's got a business meeting. He won't be there. Nothing has been as hard now as this graduation. Okay, that's what God's word says, that our children need. They need us to be there. They need us to be their teachers and their leaders and their mentors. And our wives need our understanding. But I want to turn the table right now, because it's got to be turned, because each one of these passages is connected to a doctrinal truth. In Ephesians, it's connected to Ephesians 1:1, which is be imitators of God. And we are to love and forgive each other because God has loved and forgiven us in Christ. And in Colossians, we are told to put on Christ, and we are to put on a new attitude, and part of that is forgiveness. What do dads need from you? Forgiveness. Because we can't always measure up, even when the instructions are clear and our hearts are clear. Because there is a residue of sin which exists and keeps us from being the husbands and the dads that we would want to be. And what we really need is your forgiveness. Tim Russert has written a couple of books about fatherhood. He wrote his first book about his dad, Big Russ, and me, and he received over 60,000 emails and letters. He said he felt he struck a chord He didn't know fatherhood was that important. It seems optional in our society. People writing about their dads. And one of those letters was from a young woman who went off to college. She had a bad relationship with her dad. It wasn't that they hollered at each other, it's just they didn't talk. And her dad didn't say anything. And she found that she felt isolated and alone and just felt she needed her daddy while she was at college. So she picked up the phone one night and took a risk. And do you know what she said to her dad? I love you. And in her letter to Tim Russert, she said, this started a new relationship with my dad. Sometimes you have to take the first step towards reconciliation. Sometimes you have to take the first step toward loving another person and your dad. You see, this is the greatest gift that you could ever give your father. And it's the greatest gift fathers could ever give their children and husbands could ever give their wives. And we could ever give each other, because this is the greatest gift that was ever given. It's the gift of God's unconditional love in Jesus Christ. And that love is available to each and every one of you today for the first time, or to be renewed again for a new time. Because Jesus Christ and His love is the example that we have. It's the power that we have to be fathers and to be sons and daughters, is the power that we have to be husbands and to be wives, to be the people of God. And it's a power available to you today. The gift of Christ is the gift that all of us need this Father's Day.
We can truly celebrate Father's Day by honoring His God-ordained role in the family and recovering the importance of establishing families who pursue genuine godliness and righteousness in the home. For an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for What Mama and the Kids Really Want for Father's Day. You can write to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Or call 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. And this program is also available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga. Now until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.